All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two, and I just wanted to play this little quick 45-second clip from Rambo. It's got one curse word in it, but I don't think we'll be taken off the air because of it. All right, yeah, here we go. Let's see if I can get this working. Yeah.
This is Afghanistan. Alexander the Great tried to conquer this country. Then Genghis Khan, then the British. Now Russia. But Afghan people fight hard. They never be defeated. Ancient enemy, make prayer about these people. You wish to hear? Very good. It says, may God deliver us from the venom of the cobra, teeth of the tiger, and the vengeance of the Afghan. You understand what this means?
That you guys don't take any shit?
Yes. Something like this.
All right, there you go. I watched that movie. Like, I'm a bit of a movie buff myself. Level's a bit high there. I'm a bit of a movie buff myself, so whenever I'm watching movies, Alex, I'll always, you know, just go through and record good quotes or take screenshots of All Seeing Eyes, Masonic Floors, things of that nature. And you, it's surprising just how much stuff there really is for conspiracy theorists to draw material from, just in normal, average, everyday mainstream movies. And I thought Rambo 3, yeah, we were talking about it the other segment. It was one of those films that just kind of like was like, whoa, you know, like seeing it today as opposed to back in 1991 when it was made was kind of like a wake-up call to a degree. You know what I'm saying?
1987, but what's interesting is that 1989, the Russians officially withdrew from Afghanistan. I want to touch upon this quick while I remember it. How did they know 2 years ago that the Russians were going to lose? They made it in a movie 2 years before the Russians pulled out. It's because there's something we really still don't know about the true Russian-U.S. relationship behind the scenes as all this was taking place. Zbigniew Brzezinski even admits, as well as some other Kissinger types from that era of the time, that they baited Russia into Afghanistan in order to weaken it. That means they were playing with people's lives. That means they didn't care about those people. So you see Brzezinski go over there, the famous clip, and then, of course, there's Charlie Wilson's War and all that. The movie, the recent Hollywood movie people can go and watch. Brzezinski goes over there and says, you are fighting for God. Oh, yeah, you are God's people. You're defending your land, so you're good. You're good. And look at the situation that we're in now. But to echo Mel Gibson in Braveheart, along the lines, the theme of that movie, Rambo 3, that scene there you played. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedoms. You know, this type of a theme people associate with Braveheart, the Anglo-Saxon Westerner that's fighting off the king. No, but this is all of us. It's like we're seeing a similar experience throughout time and history. Throughout the world, we've seen this. Groups conquered by New World Order-type, Illuminati-type systems, even if they weren't called that in that part of the day. I have ancestors, Vinny, that were fighting the Islamic Empire in parts of Afghanistan. They were fighting their rule. They were Persian George Washingtons running around saying, you know, the Muslim extremists are coming. The Muslim extremists are coming. They don't teach that in American history, that there were people fighting them then. And they're alive in the history books. I think of my ancestor, Abdullah Ansari, that was buried in 1064 AD. He was a Sufi. And Sufis in the East are like Gnostics in the West, or mystical people, New Age ideas. Not to be confused with New Age religion. But
I thought it was like not to be confused with a souffle, which is a kind of dessert.
We don't want to cause confusion between souffles and Sufis.
Are they just as sweet as?
But Afghanistan holds a special place in my heart, and I pray for the people of Afghanistan, and I feel my ancestors in spirit. And I've heard others say, and in terms of spiritual teachings of Native Americans, there's power when you remember your ancestors. There's something to that, and remembering their name, even if your family never told you about your ancestors and what they stood for and what they fought. And I know that this guy was railing against whatever establishment at that time through his poetry, through his words. And then 1,000 years later, a millennia, the echo seems to be in my heart, in my life. You know, I'm looking around and I'm going, where is this in the rest of my family on that side? But this is not my story. This is our story, Vinny. You know, when I heard you speak on some of your shows, it's like this guy reminds me of Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. I listened to a few more of your shows a couple years ago, and you're quoting him. You know, so it's like we're sharing this. I don't like to use the word hive mind, but there is something to this collective awareness, and we see this truth being mirrored in the words of others thousands of miles away. And yet, even though we're not alone, and we are a family, for whatever reason, we're separated by thousands of miles, and we're one in 5 million. We're one in millions. We're doing our thing, but maybe God or the universe is set up to be that way. Maybe we're not all supposed to be in one spot, in one state or one city, like, you know, in our own private utopia, a wonderful community. No, we're where we need to be.
And we're, I think, like, that we're like, you know how fruit, for example, the reason why your fruit's sweet is because it's got a chemical in it called fructose, right, which is much sweeter than sugar. Your body can't process it properly. It gets broken down by your liver like alcohol does, except if it's got fiber in it, which all fruit has. So what nature does is it packages the poison with the cure. They've packaged this world and the evil of the New World Order and given right. us the fiber in here to cure it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I still get shocked at how many things are containing high fructose corn syrup. But just stepping back and taking another look, as David Icke says, this is just all a mere representation of how dumbed down our society has become. And in a recent video, you were on someone else's show. It mirrors the same headline I just put up on my YouTube channel. We're awakening to the fact that Earth's under some sort of satanic occupation. You know, and people get caught up in this term 99%. We are the 99%. I started thinking more in depth about this term. We are the herd. We are the masses. I just became so disgusted. Who would want to brag that they're a part of herd mentality? No, it's the 1%.
Oh, my that God. I just got that.
It's not 99%, you know, that wants to see the end of this system, whatever someone chooses to call it. Capitalist, New World Order, the Jesuits, the Zionist system, whatever they've come up with. The Bilderbergers. Now, it's less than 1% that even seems to see this.
That's what my point has been all along, is that throughout history, even today, 1% of people do 99% of the work. So to claim that you're one of the 99% is to claim that you do none of the work.
Right. And I was talking about Sufism earlier. That represents like a 1% type of thinking. That's like an interpretation of Islam that's like, no, I'm not going to worship you. Like, you're going to beat me up if I do something wrong. I want to understand you. I want to understand this we are all one concept. They had it back then in the Quantum realm, how to be like you. You know, the true teachings of Christ. Be like me. Don't worship the people that say that they represent my teachings. No, be like me. Run out and help the world and stand in the face of all these demons that want to lead you astray. You know, I think that's the awakening. Vinny, there's been an awakening to, I want to talk about solar cycles briefly in this interview and what I've learned about that in 5 years, but this term Archon, you've had a couple people on, did a roundtable show. I've been researching this since the summer of 2012. I've always been interested in reptilian, gray, we're not alone ideas, but it hasn't been until Alfred Weber had Laura Eisenhower in that famous interview from last year. Even though they were on together before and did some stuff, it just seemed like it developed a viral nature. And then it started to, like, dots in my head were connecting. Look at how many sci-fi films where the Borg is represented, an artificial construct type of a non-human parasite, evil force that's working on the part of something more evil that just hates humanity and will do everything in its power to turn us against each other and infect our minds. This information that John Lash, you probably have had him on, has this brought to light, has awakened people to an even deeper concept that maybe we're here in human form to learn how to fight these things, to learn how to overcome what they're doing to us, you know, almost activate some sort of inner power, if you will. True spiritual warfare, taking the sword from the stone, you know, decapitating the demon in the archetypal mythological into the Lord of the Rings seat. Into the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where it's a woman, not a man, the feminine, that is decapitating the dragon. So I think these memes that we're seeing and just this knowledge of the Gnostic text and the Nag Hammadi, to me, in my own mind, there are less questions that I have. It seems like so much is being revealed to me personally and the people like you and your guests that we are being given the ultimate goal. We are now being given the knowledge. We've been given now the knowledge with proof and evidence there's something wrong. We're under attack. The species is under attack, and it's so organized. It's not a few Rothschilds and Rockefellers behind it. That's ridiculous. And then this other knowledge is coming in. Wait a minute. Being human is more than just eating from the trough and eating at McDonald's and drinking fluoridated water and being a part of some sort of a religious cult or following the left-right paradigm or watching sports. As human beings, we have hearts, which is the greatest concentration of electromagnetic energy in the human body, the area when we love, where we love from and receive love, the heart chakra. And I can go on and on. We're learning about why a lot of us, we're even here, Vincent, why we're even on the earth. And when you get to that point, when you know why you're here, there is no asking the stars and heavens with frantic tears, when are people going to wake up? Because you start to realize that it's only the minority that's waking up to these deeper truths.
And more to the point, to add on to that, it's only a minority that actually needs to wake up in order to overthrow them. You know, you have a look at every successful revolution throughout history. Every single time, it's never been more than 5%, usually much less, that have actually... here's the thing. Founding fathers laid down their lives, their fortunes, right, and their sacred honor. Okay? If you are willing to lay that down, heaven help any enemy that comes against you.
Right. And I'm going to sum this up really briefly because there's limited time. I'm really interested in these solar cycles, small ones and large ones. People can look up people like Maurice Cottrell on Coast to Coast, and he'll take you down the different types of cycles. But this 2012 one we just went through is just one of many. And it's still going to take some time to see the effects of whatever galactic center we're going through. But when we see these major renaissances throughout time, you can see peaks in solar activity and changes in climate. And I did a keynote presentation. It's the one thing that got me out of the desert, Vincent, and I really needed it. It was in April of this year. They flew me to Philadelphia, and I gave a 200 slideshow presentation on the sun's effect on consciousness, but cycles of war. We can see periods where events that have been staged by them have occurred in peaks in solar activity. 9/11 is the best example of our day. And we can go from 9/11, even the day of 9/11, we were seeing fluctuations in the magnetic field the moment that those towers were hit by the planes and the moment that those buildings came down. And scientists took a closer look at this. The fear generated by all those people watching at the same time, those events on TV were somehow affecting the magnetic field. And there is so much evidence that there is a direct connection between our consciousness and the field of the Earth itself. Now, when we see more solar flares hit the Earth, we go through magnetic flux. We see geomagnetic storms like they talk about on spaceweather.com. You can sign up and get the updates in your email. And you may also start to see the patterns as I started tracking 4 years ago, people getting in fights, domestic stuff. You may find yourself pissed off and just ready to blow. And you're going, why do I feel this way? And you find out, oh, my God, we were just hit by a solar flare. There's something about the human body and our aura, our own magnetic field, that is affected by these changes. And I have concluded it's not conclusively, altruistically, absolutely positive and enlightening and heart-opening. It can be very chaotic and freaky. And how people respond to these magnetic fluxes, geomagnetic storms, is in direct relation to the level of their consciousness or if they're able to handle that energy in their body. This is why I see patterns of more heroin addiction, alcoholism, smoking, other forms of escapism during solar peaks, because as humans, we get flooded with the energy. It's fight or flight on another level, on a more subtle level. We see more babies born. We also see more divorces. Is that because human beings are more hornier for more energy coming in from the sun? See, we start asking questions as to why does society have certain trends? When we go beyond just physical realities and the economy and the war and Earth-level events, we go higher, we see these larger patterns. And we are...
Tells me that it's a reciprocal relationship, that the sun affects us and we also affect the sun. Ergo, it must be possible for human beings to actually create their own renaissance without really the need of the sun to do it for us to a degree. Do you reckon?
Dr. Burl Payne. I will now cite Dr. Burl Payne is the man that did studies on people doing mass meditations to quiet sunspots on the sun. Now, this is not to say that sunspots are evil. I had another friend say, why would you want to quiet sunspots? It's linked to evolution. It's linked to also great botanical life, great growing seasons, rather, in areas where there's not a lot of flooding. The plants respond to that increase in solar activity. But to quiet the sunspots during a time where the world is about to go to war may be a beneficial thing if we were able to bring it to more of a, or to quiet rather the magnetic field, which is what we're, I think, maybe even more able to control than the sun itself. This is an area that's new to me, but there are people that are looking at this. And I think it's more evidence that we do have this connection with the sun and it's linked to evolution and consciousness. Burl Payne's been working with this many years. And he's also done studies on the magnetic field around the human body, which he calls the spin force. And he sees, and he's detected in some of his studies, greater spin around the human body and around certain objects when there's more geomagnetic energy in the air.
It's kind of like the Van Allen radiation belt. The Earth produces itself these kind of dual right. Sort of mushroom shaped auras around its northern and southern hemispheres, and it right. actually produces this radiation belt. It's a big magnetic field, and that mm-hmm. protects it, but it also affects other things around it negatively. And this is something that the people who were traveling through space earlier were really worried about when they went to the moon, or allegedly went to the moon. That they thought that they might be cooked in their little space capsules right. like an egg, you know. And what I find very interesting is that they've now done studies of humans as well, and it turns out that the heart actually produces a very similar looking magnetic field around it as well. So it's like the fractal universe, you know, as above, so below. Everything right. produces the same kind of thing. Like a cell looks like the Earth. A human body and its magnetic fields looks like the Earth. The revolving Andromeda galaxy looks like a cell, and so on and so forth. Everything's a constant repetition of everything that you see around you. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieusenshow.com. And gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is the show from which you cannot hide, no matter how hard you try, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage people to listen in 5 days a week if you want to expand your mind, learn about different things, and so on and so forth. I don't know how everybody else thinks, but here's what I think. If you keep learning about the same stuff all the time, you become stagnant, and you become mentally disabled in a lot of ways. You forget how to learn. You forget how to be open. You forget this important ability to wake up to things that you previously were completely unaware of. And a lot of people, they choose to sit in denial because they've come to the point where they understand one thing and one thing only. And therefore, that understanding of that one thing gives them comfort. And then they try to reject everything else that would seek to destroy that level of comfort. I have news for you. If you're comfortable, it means that you're becoming weak, okay? If you are exercising all the time and you are building up these big muscles, as soon as you stop exercising, what happens to those muscles when they're not being used? They start to go back to nothing and becoming weak. Your brain is the same thing, and so is your heart. You know, I see a lot of people who have bad relationships, and they break up, and they think, oh, I'll never find love again or whatever, and they never choose to exercise that heart muscle, and as a result, they become really loveless, all right? So this is what this show is about. It's about exercising your funny bone, exercising your heart, and exercise in your mind on a daily basis so that you never lose that potential strength. Alex Ansari, the man with the Ansaris, is my guest. And I was just thinking about natural heritage and what people have a propensity to do. Like, I have an Irish and a Scottish background, and I like to hold things like I like to hold a pint of beer. I like to hold a glass of scotch kind of thing. I think they might have to do something with my ancestry. Do you like to hold Stinger missile launchers and AK-47s, considering you've got the Afghanistani background, bro?
You know, it's ironic. I haven't really gotten into firearms. I do like I don't talk about it a lot, but I love all types of martial arts. I've been training in different styles since I was 13. Aikido, boxing, a little of everything, and I had some really good mentors and teachers when I was younger. So even though I don't get out there and I pit fight, I there's something I like about training and pushing my body to the max and using my internal energy, my ki, as I move, as I flow. That may come from thousands of years of fighting with the hands. Now, I didn't see that in my father. He tried to breed that out of me, actually tried to beat it out of me. When he one night after
that's
drinking,
that's ironic. You know, don't fight people with your hands while he's beating.
Don't be like Rambo. Anybody can be Rambo. You need to go to school and worship this Western system that I came here to worship. Blah 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 blah. Okay, let me not go off. But I've always felt a desire to be in the mountains, and people went, "Why, Alex, would you be in Colorado? Like, you could die out there in the desert." Well, it just so turns out, check this out, Vincent. The military does aircraft flyovers, the area of the desert where I was staying, because that terrain is the closest to Afghanistan of anywhere in the U.S., so they have a training range. Now, you think a guy like me would be traumatized with aircraft flying over? They haven't been too invasive, and no one's effed with me. I've been grateful I just wasn't in the city, so I haven't minded their planes. Big friggin' deal. You do your thing, I'll do mine. There's also a kind of psychological safety of being in the so-called enemy's backyard. They're not going to bomb themselves. Something beautiful about the San Luis Valley for those that live in Colorado. They should look me up. So I feel that being drawn to a part of the United States, only a couple of days drive from Portland, that's a lot like Afghanistan. And for a few months, we didn't get into how I've been surviving. But let's just say, folks, it's in the mind. You got to, if you can deal with the heat, the cold, and not having entertainment around you, if you can deal with those thoughts you have, if you can quiet yourself and you're willing to get close to God and say, well, what do you want to tell me? Why'd you bring me here? Seriously. No, what do you have to say? I'm listening. If you have that type of psychological willingness, it'll help. So I've been baking bread, Vincent, like Afghanis did. I never learned how to bake bread, but I started getting organic flour in my hibachi crid, hibachi grill, no gas, no propane. Grabbing sagebrush, little lighter fluid, baking bread over fire has been done for thousands of years. I never baked bread till I got out there. So I felt like that simple act was just like going back a few thousand years. Yes, I live in a world where just a year ago people were talking about the end of the world as we know it, 2012. And I'm living in an area that looks like the land before time that my ancestors lived in. And it's right here in the United States. People can live off the grid. They're Vincent for less than $5,000. They can build their home. They can get their building permits. They can be legal. And they can have a community of people to live free together. What I've learned, Vincent, is that there's not enough people out there in the so-called truth community trying to set themselves free. I feel like that is a bigger issue than drones and the government doing this and the government doing that. It's one thing to be upset with your enslavement. It's another thing to not even try to free yourself because you believe that you can't when you haven't even tried. There is a virus, Vincent, that has infected many of our listeners. They don't ever believe that they're ever going to be free or get out of what they're in because of what they've already read or learned, something that's polluted their mind. And what people don't know is there are more and more counties and small areas in this country that are removing fluoride from their water. By the way, China is producing the sodium fluoride that is going into the water supply. There's sodium fluoride and potassium fluoride. When you start awakening to the fact that there are people in this country that live off of mountain runoff that is not contaminated by their local government, there's more evidence I see every day that there are people living free that never heard of a new world order because they're not an area where it's up in their grill. And people need to know that. You know, it's one thing to want to fight this on Facebook and constantly tell the CIA how much you're learning. I understand that. We all want to show people how much we know on Facebook. It's a whole other thing to go beyond what we're so upset about and challenge ourselves. And I want to conclude here on this point. There's someone that I know that's very aware of these things, and she's messaging me saying, how could you live out there without your own water? Are you serious? Our ancestors used to haul water in. The river, the Rio Grande River, was only 3 miles from where I was staying. And I'm trying to explain this to her. You can get 5-gallon BPA-free containers. You can fill them up. You can pick them up. Not trying to talk to you like you're stupid. But it's like you almost have to talk to people like they're children politely and with respect because they've been damaged by this system. So they're going, we don't like New World Order. We don't like world government, but we're not going to haul our own water. We're not going to have our husband outfit our car to have a 200-gallon container with a pump to go bring in our water so we can grow whatever we want. By the way, weed is legal, Vincent. In Colorado, you can grow up to 6 plants. You can have your pot utopia if you can bear to live with somebody else. See, so, I mean, I'm like you. I want to deal with root causes. Why aren't we free? Why don't we have our own territory? Why don't we have our own tent cities where we don't have to deal with the rainbow family group and people that just want to get high? That doesn't work for some of us. I've tried. Others have tried. We need to keep trying to raise the bar to be independent and just be self-honest with ourselves. That's what I've learned from this last year.
I was thinking about diversity now. Think about the diverse ways that the New World Order is fracking all of us, and you know, in every conceivable way. You know, you talked about, say, if people are drinking water from mountain runoff that hasn't been contaminated by their local council, and then I was just thinking, yep, that's assuming it hasn't been chemtrailed, and there's particulate traces of aluminium and barium and strontium and so on and so forth. It's like for every bit of freedom that you think that you've gained, you can get really negative about it and think that in other ways you haven't been quite successful. And I came to this conclusion about a year ago that there's so many it's kind of like a cactus, right? You know, you got all these spines coming out in all of these different directions and so on and so forth. For every spine that's going out in every different direction to protect the cactus, there's an attack by the New World Order coming at it from each and every comparable direction, right? That's our existence now. So that means whatever attack that you resist, playing your part of the spine in the cactus, whatever way you resist, that's a good thing. It's only when you stop playing your part, it's only when you stop trying to be free, it's only when you stop trying to resist agendas and so on and so forth, that's when you know for a fact that you are a slave, not because somebody made you a slave, but because you made yourself a slave.
That's true, and to continue on with what you're saying, I just brought this up as you were speaking. We tend to judge something as good or bad when we're having an experience, just in general. You know, and my whole thing was not about, oh, I'm going to go there and be completely self-sufficient, have my own land, and, you know, live the free life. It doesn't work that way. It was to have an experience of something that would make me stronger. And now I'm thinking about what am I going to continue this winter to continue that and not become lazy and not complacent on my laurels, but to keep moving forward. We don't always know why something is good or bad, but there is a Chinese proverb that I've known since I was young. It's called good luck, bad luck. And I'm sure you've heard of it, but it deals with an old man. This comes from ancient China, who his son finds a number of horses and he brings the horses back. And everybody said it was such a good omen for him. It was so great.
I have seen this. I have heard this. Yeah. This is in Charlie Wilson's War.
That's right. Very interesting. Yeah. It's been repeated several times. I heard it when I was really young, but I'm going to try to sum it up. Everybody's saying it's good. He's like, good, bad, we'll see. You know, he's playing the middle of the road. We don't know yet. Let's see what happens. His son tries to tame one of these wild horses, falls off, breaks his leg. So now all the villagers are like, oh my God, that's horrible. I mean, your son broke his leg. This is bad, bad. He's like, you know, good, bad. We will see in time. Well, the Chinese army comes, the imperial army, and they're taking the sons. They're taking the villages. They're having their own draft. And his son can't go. His son has a broken leg. So now it's a good thing. So we see in many cases in my life, I remember this parable because I see mirroring examples of it all the time. And it reminds me, just step back from just freaking out that this is a bad thing. Maybe doors are closing here in order for doors to open over here.
Yeah. My former producer had a saying: for every door that closes, a window opens. And I believe in that quite strongly, because every time you've been down on your luck where you think things can't get any worse, trust me, they can always get worse. And every time when you're down on your luck and you think things are never going to get better, surprisingly enough, they always get better. And it's like whatever you think is going to happen, you just have to wait and see.
That's true. Wait and see. Take a look at everything. Take a look again. Take a look at the bigger picture, and that's what we need to do. There's a lot of people looking at the smaller picture, and they're feeling sorry for themselves, and they're feeling like victims. I see quite a bit of it, and I'm just trying to help people. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But when I look at the majority of the people, what they post on Facebook today, I understand we're sharing information. But most of the people can agree on some level. It's all about threats to physical survival. So we at least have to make an attempt. And there's all types of Eastern philosophy we can find for thousands of years that have talked about the journey. That's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's how you live your life. I don't like this phrase, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. I think that's bullcrap. I think that good intentions can lead us to good things. And some people just say that because they don't even want to try to do anything.
This reminds me of a John Lennon quote. John Lennon was told by his mother, at the point of life, his son is what? And he says, it's to be happy. And he goes, oh, okay then. And he goes to school, and the teacher has an assignment, gives out to all the students, and says, what do you want to do for a career? And John Lennon answers, well, I just want to be happy. And the teacher told him, well, you didn't understand the assignment. And then he tells the teacher, you don't understand life.
That's good. Well, I guess the journey is to be happy. But then again, I want to be happy about the real things. I read this other article about, well, maybe we have sadness for a reason, and just to be just happy all the time just is this weird.
People avoid pain and discomfort and difficulty, and you know it's bad. Right. You know, if you've got all of one and not of the other, it makes you lose appreciation for the other. Kind of like if you were born into wealth, you don't appreciate the freedom that poverty gives you.
Right. Yeah, the same thing could be said about that which we perceive to be the light and those working with the light, and that which we perceive to be darkness and those helping the dark side of the dark forces. As souls in this reincarnation wheel, which I do believe we're in one, it may go big beyond what we know today. But, you know, we read these reports about the universe being a hologram or being a simulation. This is no longer a new idea. Interestingly enough, they're studying cosmic rays, which relate to the magnetic field and the sun and things of that nature. They're looking at how cosmic rays affect the Earth itself in some of their studies on, is this a computer simulation? So I just think we should keep an open mind as to why people just go, you know, Nancy Kerrigan comes to mind getting hit with this. Oh, why me? Why? Or was that Tonya Harding? No, Tonya Harding was behind that thing. He hit her in. But all that took place here in America, Vinny, a very famous scene where the woman's screaming, why, and she's holding her leg like a victim. She was an Olympic ice skater. The point is, we can't fall into that screaming, apathetic, panicked, why type of mentality for all of our lives. We've got to open up our minds to us choosing to be here and choosing to become better people, because we're forced to, and we're forced to see this darkness. It's in plain sight. It's all around us. It's fairly obvious 9/11 was an inside job. I just want to, what if the creator set all this up intentionally for it to be so obvious? You know, Lindsay Williams say they have to show us what they're doing. Why is that? How was this built into the cosmic, spiritual, natural order of things that they have to show us what they're doing? Unless it's there to constantly be obvious what they're doing, and people have a choice what they're going to serve here.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is when people grab their leg and scream out, why, they only want to ask the question because they don't really want to hear the answer. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastonshow.com. Alex Anseri, Outside the Box. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment. We were just commenting like it's, Alex, it's already been 2 hours pretty much, bro, and it's like, it's gone. That's why I call it the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, because we're just sitting here having a laugh. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. You probably have, and most people probably have. when you're at a party and you're a bit wasted or whatever, and you start having a really interesting conversation with somebody, and before you know it, the party's almost over and, you're still talking, and you're like, whoa, 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 where the hell did that, those couple of hours go? Right. And that's kind of what the show's sort of turned into. It's kind of like a sober version of that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a sober version of that. I've enjoyed it, and I respect what you do quite a bit, and I enjoy a lot of the interviews, and I've become quite bored with a lot of other shows over the years, and quite tired of hearing the same thing presented the same way over and over, so people certainly appreciate that. I wanted to mention one thing briefly, and very briefly. I also want to give out my contact info. You know, I don't want to be in the game of predicting things at a certain time frame and saying it's going to happen. But from recent developments in Syria, I've seen more and more things validate what I felt is going to be the reality of what's going to go down for the last 6 years. I've just seen more and more validation. And what I believe, whether we call it World War III or whether we call it just the masses being gunned down by mercenaries or zombies in exoskeletons, whatever the case may be, I see this conflict being manufactured by them, whatever we identify to be them, between Russia, China, and the United States. And I see it culminating not this year and not next year, but a series of events this decade that just lead to more weakening of the United States and basically more the country, the world being turned against the U.S. You notice with Syria now, the whole world's getting ready. Russia and Iran, they're doing the missile deal. You know, Russia and Syria, the whole world's getting ready. And by that time, China will be ready, and China will be on the moon. The peak of solar cycle 25, we're right now in 24. It's going to peak late this year in 2015. That's NASA's latest projections. And as I alluded to earlier, peaks in these solar cycles correlate with peaks in wars, starting or ending massive major you-know-what's hitting the fan, including economic. So I see the 2022 the 2026 time frame is being very, very interesting. Unfortunately, when I hear from people like Alfred Weber and others, I keep hearing them talk about still this collective consciousness timeline that's going to fix everything. And I'm from the point of observation that this is about the soul's journey, that these are just spacesuits. I know people really believe this, but I don't think they really internalize this, that we're here temporarily. We're here, we're born, and then we're out of it. Rest in peace, Bob Bowman, also a former guest of mine. You and Jack Blood were talking about that. Many people have come and gone. Aaron Russo, we remember these souls, but they did their work and they're gone. Now it's us and we're here. And we have a responsibility to warn people about what we're seeing because ultimately it's healing and we're trying to protect people. So I see this deception coming, Vinny, and I don't think there's enough people today aware that it's a controlled war to use to traumatize the population. I'm not going to say they're going to be successful at depopulating 80%. And I'm not going to say that divine intervention won't play a part in maybe helping us at whatever form it will be. But I'm not going to expect any Pleiadian or any so-called ET group that someone's channeled to come and save my behind. I see this shift as being our greater awareness of what they're trying to pull. And through that, we're showing who we stand for, that we stand with God, that we stand with the creative forces of the universe, if we prefer to identify with that. When we expose their plans to turn nation against nation, as they try to bring the book of Revelation to fulfillment, as they play off that script, we expose them because it's the right thing to do. You know, forget about Jesus returning. How about the Christ consciousness within us, now rising out of the ashes and being something powerful? So that's what I think we're looking at, and we need to keep our understanding that they want us to be divided. And people start posting on the internet, oh, I've got my guns, come and take it. They're telling the government where they are and what their intentions are. And they're missing the point that this is a larger fight they're going to be fighting. If they're planning to bring Chinese and Russian troops and Polish troops and all these other hardened troops into the United States. And then you remember those things without also becoming paranoid when they come across foreigners.
Mm. Well, I remember like pre-Pearl Harbor, I think it was. There was a Japanese admiral who was saying we would never have a land invasion of the United States if we did, we'd have a gun pointed at us from behind every blade of grass. But conveniently, there's been 16 mass shootings since the election of President Obama. Isn't that an interesting statistic? You know? And every single time that one of these mass shootings comes out, in a gun ban zone, mind you, by people with unlawfully obtained firearms usually, we're just going to come out and ban guns. Yeah, unless, of course, it was one of those attempted mass shootings where the shooter was shot from somebody who had a concealed carry permit legally.
Yeah, very good points. And they're going after the AR-15, and they're asking the question, well, what good is an AR-15 for? What does a citizen need an AR-15 for? You need something at least at that capacity to fight off an army.
Yeah.
So I just want to plug my interview from 2007. Alex Hansery interviews Leon Legant. Leon Legant began having dreams of the invasion of the United States when he was 10 years old. He later moved on to become a clairvoyant teacher to help people access their inner sight. He does not talk to people this often about this. But if people do want to hear what he saw and the timeline, he also saw a Japanese disaster happening, another earth changes before this event. They want to interview Leon Legant, L-E-G-A-N-T, and my name, and there'll be a couple of different interviews where that view is represented.
Mm. Is he still alive? Texas,
what's that?
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, and he teaches online meditation classes.
Would he come on this show?
Would he come on this show? I don't know, but I can maybe ask him and give him your contact info, and we'll see.
Hook a brother up, yo.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked a whole lot. I know this actually really bothers him. This really bothers him, Vincent, just this topic, because he sees Korea involved. He sees lots of things. But ultimately, he saw the resistance forming in Colorado. I feel like I was drawn to this region for a number of different possible reasons. But he saw the invasion stopped after a few years, divine intervention, things of that nature, but basically the U.S. coming together around the Rocky Mountains. So, you know, while I lived in Portland, I was just generally concerned about the city's overall well-being. And like I said about the local politics and whatnot, I really wanted to save that city. I wanted to be a martyr in some way. At one point, I was very concerned that no one was saying anything about the martial law drills, like Top Off 4, which I documented, the black helicopter flyovers. You know, and just a general increase in Homeland Security doing things locally, they were obviously very creepy. Then I started to learn that there are multiple drills that NORTHCOM's been involved in where they're preparing to intercept attacks from overseas. People can look up Vigilant Shield 07 and see that that drill was running concurrent to Top Off 4, but they weren't talking about it in the media. So I would go around asking questions, why are you talking about a drill to protect us from Al-Qaeda? They did a simulation of the Steel Bridge blowing up. And how Homeland Security would rescue Portland and run things from the city, set up as a base of operations. But they're running other drills with China and Russia attacking the U.S. So at that point, I was trying to get local officials to tell us, why are you running such a scary drill like that, but you're not telling us in the media? So I think the West Coast has got definitely some major challenges. And I want to share my YouTube channel for people to be able to find some of my other videos. And I'm going to be posting my solar flare presentation about a month from now when it's released from Mark Passio, who was the gracious host of the Free Your Mind Conference. It's youtube.com/AlexAnsery. That's where people can find 7 years, 8 years of interviews. And it's all just randomly there on one channel. And then there's alexansery.tv, which over the course of this coming week, I'm going to be working on updating with articles and videos and whatnot. And eventually I'll establish a newsletter. I've been moving so much, it's been difficult for me to get back to people and maintain it. But I'm going to try to do that this winter. And, of course, people can also find me over at Facebook, and they can follow some of my posts from there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've still got a minute or two left. And I was just thinking about this, right? How could we ever figure out where it is we're going to end up? Because I don't know about you, but I've seen so many people predict things. Virtually nothing happens like you think it's going to. And even if it does happen like you think it's going to, it doesn't happen the way you thought it was. And what occurs to me is that if you have a belief in something, your beliefs will always be challenged. Always. And you've got to be prepared for that. And you've got to be prepared to change your beliefs when new information comes into the fold. And I think... what I classically say all the time is there's my three most favorite words are I don't know. Three most hated words are I don't care. And the three words that are required for personal growth is I was wrong. And I believe that that philosophy, that nine-word philosophy, kind of encapsulates and brings about a lot of balance within me because it means that I can constantly change. I remember I was asking my landlady, who's been living in this particular place for 26 odd years, right, if we could have some chooks in the background. And she said something to me I'll never forget. No, I don't like change. And I was just thinking, so you don't like the only constant in the universe? You Shiite Muslim out of luck. I'm sorry. You know, it's one thing that you cannot avoid. And if you're afraid of it and if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry, but you're never going to reach your full potential. Embrace it. Make it freaking happen. And that's why I really find it very interesting how every single political campaign that's running against the current established order campaigns on a platform of change. And people vote for them because they actually do want it. But it never freaking happens because the people are lying to you. Stop believing them and start changing things yourself. You don't need them anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need them anymore. Thank you very much, Alex, for coming on the show today. AlexAnseri.tv is the website. Just Google him on, the NSA search engine or something of that nature. And you'll be able to look at the websites of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we'll see you again sometime.